After weeks of defiance, or some would argue denial, Donald Trump has conceded defeat. Well, sort of. He's authorised the federal agency that handles the transition of power to allow President-elect Joe Biden access to resources. The Trump campaign's legal efforts to overturn the election have almost entirely failed in key battleground states. Yet in a tweet, Donald Trump said, "Our case strongly continues. We will keep up the good fight, and I believe we will prevail." But he also confirmed he had recommended handover protocols commence. John Sopel is the BBC's North America editor. I asked him if this means Donald Trump's accepted he's a loser.
Yeah, up to a point. If you go back in history to the Watergate scandal and the fall of Richard Nixon, one of the great phrases that came out of that was the non-denial denial. What we've had tonight is the non-concession concession. Donald Trump has conceded in everything but words. So we don't have Donald Trump picking up the phone and saying, "Congratulations, President-elect Biden." We don't have a white flag being hoisted. We don't have Donald Trump saying, "I concede." But in every other symbolic respect, the president has called it a day and says, "Yep, I am a one-term loser." The last thing in the world he wanted to be saying.
So, John, how did he make this announcement?
I think he was forced into it. I think that the court cases were just being treated with derision. There was a case that went to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court where the federal judge issued this 37-page judgment that was just an evisceration of Donald Trump. Then you had the Michigan Electors Commission essentially saying, "Yep, it's absolutely right. Biden won by 150,000 votes." You've had the same in Georgia as well. And you've also had, significantly, a number of senior Republican senators that was at first a trickle, but is becoming a flood, saying, "It's over. You've got to accept you lost this election. There's nowhere to go." And when I think if there was a tipping point, it was when he started to call in sort of lawmakers from Michigan and say to them, "Well, I know I've lost in the court, but why don't you just overturn the result anyway?" So that the idea that two or three Republicans would overturn the votes of 2 or 3 million people, a lot of people might say that sounds like a coup d'etat, not the will of the people. And I think for some people then it became, whoa, is American democracy going to die so that Donald Trump can have a second term? And I think that became a critical moment. Now, Lisa, if you ask me my opinion, I think my overwhelming reaction to what I've seen is still the astonishing fear/cowardice of so many Republicans, but there were enough who said, "I can go this far, I voted for you, but I can't go any further."
So, John, is this really it for Donald Trump? Is he in the White House packing up his books and folding his trousers now? And is he going to leave quietly? Or are you sitting on the edge of your seat waiting for something else?
Yes, no, maybe. Yes, he's packing up his books and folding his trousers neatly, I would think, with the crease nicely folded. No, he's not going to go quietly. Come on. We've had 4 years of this now. His departure is going to be utterly consistent with his arrival and his period in office, and it is going to be noisy and quarrelsome and surprising and impulsive and take irrational turns and take rational turns. And the final part of it is, I think that there will be some kind of transition. But will he invite Joe Biden in for tea on the day of the inauguration and then sit and watch as Joe Biden makes his speech? I find it hard to imagine. But that is why the ringside view that I've had for the last 4 years is one I just wouldn't give up easily, because you have not got a clue what will happen next. But I think what has happened in the past few hours is something significant. There is as near as to a concession as you're going to get from Donald Trump. And Joe Biden, who I think, you know, for all the sleepy Joe comments, has played a masterful hand in patience. Give the president enough rope, give him some more rope and even more rope. But eventually, he's going to run out of it. And it felt like this evening, he ran out of it.
I have to ask, because watching from afar, the best or worst supporting actor, depending on your take on this, Rudy Giuliani, right? So is he...
Well, had a bad hair dye.
Is he keeping the faith?
Rudy Giuliani is keeping the faith. But what you're left with is this sense that there are these fighters who are still in the jungles of Borneo, who haven't been told that the Second World War has ended, and that they are absolutely there and they are ready to come out fighting once the enemy marches into their territory and they're going to spring a surprise attack. But the numbers who are there in the Borneo jungles are getting fewer and they are depleted, but they are even more fervent. And I think that the same people in the White House, and there are many of them, are looking at this and saying, enough is enough.
And that was the BBC's North America editor, John Sopel.